Morning.
Good morning.
For the topic of the morning to you.
Does anybody remember what we're talking about?
Good morning.
Thank God.
Learning how to listen. Mm-hmm. We started out by seeing in Hebrews 11 that throughout the ages God has spoken to men in various ways. Mm-hmm. Anybody remember what some of the various ways are? You can give me two or three. What? Dreams. Okay. Visions.
His word.
His word.
Prophets.
Prophets.
His actual voice. Angels.
Yeah. His voice. Angels.
Spirit.
Spirit. Holy Spirit. Direct revelation. Nancy?
Well, those were my top.
Stephen?
Bush.
You're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. The donkey. You're absolutely right. Good. Those are good examples.
Wasn't what you were looking for.
Well, no. It is what I'm looking for, because in various ways. The point is, God is trying to speak to us, and He's using lots of different ways. Whatever He thinks will get our attention, because He's really trying to get through to us. And one way, He's trying really hard, but in another way, He's not trying so hard that it keeps you from pursuing. He's trying to get you to notice. Okay, what was the whole point of the burning bush? It was
attention.
It was to get His attention. Okay, the burning bush wasn't... Now, I kind of lost the way that I was seeing this, but... We can't get caught up in, I guess, the method, you know. I mean, even the donkey. We can look at each one of these different things, and we can't assume because it happened this way for this person that that'll ever happen to me. Okay, so the method in which God got someone's attention was merely for them to get their attention. And God will, you know, orchestrate things in our lives that are unique to us, because He knows our hearts. So I guess what I wanted to say in that is, don't get so caught up in, you know, this is how God speaks, where you think it has to come in this particular way. Does that make sense?
No.
Okay.
He can use...
Well, first let me get Stephen. Go ahead.
Does the donkey count?
Well, yeah, the donkey counts.
Well, He used the donkey, but it wasn't God speaking through the donkey. Because it says He loosed the donkey's tongue, and the donkey said whatever he felt like saying, which would be...
But it was instrumental.
Yeah. But it wasn't actually God speaking to the donkey.
Okay. But God sometimes will use, like we said, circumstances or different events in our lives, and it may not necessarily be God speaking, but God can use the circumstance to give us direction. And you were going to say something, Mark.
Yeah, that it's so often, I think, that one of the reasons why we have such a hard time hearing God is because, I think it's one of the things you're getting at, is that we're waiting to hear an actual specific answer verbally in our heart or in our mind or whatever, when 90% of the time God is looking to lead us, not give us an answer. Mm-hmm. And so He leads us as we go through the way. Mm-hmm. He's not going to, most of the time, He's not going to say, that's what I want you to do. And He knows that if He just says that, there's like 15 steps between here and where we're heading. He wants to lead you every step of the way.
Step by step.
And sometimes He'll lead you all the way up to something and you think it's leading to this because that's what common sense says. When in reality, all God wanted you to do was go through that process with Him to learn something. And then He says, oh, by the way, no, I really don't want you to do that.
Yes.
You know?
Thank you, God.
I mean, the truth of the matter is He's there about guidance. It's about relationship. It's not about giving us a verbal yes or no.
Right.
Most of it.
Very good. Absolutely, yes. Stephen.
It's like in Heaven Almighty. You know, the whole family said their little prayer, and God caused them to start building the ark, and in doing so answer every one of their prayers, but not in the way they wanted. You know, the mom wanted the family to be brought together, and it brought the family together. The son wanted all sorts of animals, and he had all sorts of animals. And Evan wanted to become, what was it, a great man or something, and he became a great man. But they all got what they wanted, just not the way they wanted. And at that dinner table, or when she was at the her meal, and God was explaining it, he's like, when a man, you know, prays for courage, does he give him courage, or does he give him a chance to be courageous? And he gave a few other examples.
Yeah, patience is a big one, because God won't give you patience. He'll give you circumstances to help you develop patience. Because believe it or not, we all have patience. Patience is something that has to be developed. We all have patience. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm hoping that I can do this within 30 minutes because I want to give you time. I'm going to explain it now because I want you to get your heart ready. God is giving you time, okay? And no one is going to be talking or doing anything but this assigned task. It is very critical that we don't get caught up in anything that's distracting. Okay, so any type of electronic device, I want you to put it away from you. I'm going to ask you to, I want you to do this by yourself. And what I want you to do is write down three things that you're seeking God about. It doesn't have to be three if you can't think of three, but, you know, it just sounded like a good number. But one of those three things, I would like you to share that. I don't want you to do this in pairs, but I want you to share one thing with another person and ask them if they will seek God on your behalf about this particular thing. Okay, so we're not just listening for ourselves. We're learning to listen for others, too, right? There are times when he'll give you direction for someone else, not always. So just because someone asks you to pray for them and whatever about a particular subject doesn't mean that God's going to give you an answer. I mean, God may say, you know, I don't have anything to tell you about this, or, you know, because at times people will come to us for guidance from God, and God may want them to come to him directly. But he could give you some kind of a confirming word. So even in that, you're going to have to ask wisdom, okay? But the whole point of the exercise is just to block time. We use the excuse, I just can't seem to find time to sit down and get my heart quiet before God. And you are going to have that time. And I pray to God that you'll be faithful to do with it what it's intended. So that's coming up in about 20, 30 minutes. but get your heart ready. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to spend a little bit of time in review, and then I'm going to give some guidelines and reminders on things that'll help you during that time. So last week, when we gave a little bit of an excerpt from the book Waking the Dead, and the point of that, it was in the very first chapter, was to show you that things aren't always what they seem. In getting direction for your life and trying to hear what God is saying, we interpret it through what we think is going on. And we don't always see clearly. Okay, Jesus mentioned two things, eyes to see and ears to hear. Seeing what's really going on. Putting things into perspective, not necessarily into your own idea of what your plan is for your life, but what is God's objective for the overall plan and how you fit into it? Okay, so at one point I asked you to, this is kind of not an assignment, just something I thought would be a good exercise, to write down what dreams you had. Like I told you to write down a dream that you, something you had your heart set on doing. And then evaluate your life and find out, you know, this is what I thought was going to happen. This is where I am. And then just kind of ponder those things in your heart and wonder or ask God or seek wisdom, you know, to find out, Am I on the right course? Did I do something to get myself off of the path that I was supposed to be on? Was I ever supposed to be on that path? What exactly were these dreams that I had when I was young? You understand what I'm saying? That was the whole point of that exercise. It wasn't necessarily an assignment, but just something that I thought would be a good exercise in learning how to listen and to evaluate your own heart. God knows our hearts. And so we need to seek Him to even understand our own heart. But it says, the spirit of man is a candle of the Lord, searching the inward parts of the belly. Right? So God has given us an instrument that we can directly connect with Him and then examine our hearts. Does that make sense? Okay. Let's turn to Acts 17. Faith actually asked me some questions this morning, and I appreciate that. Once again, you were right on time with what you were seeking, because it... let's just say Faith has this particular gift that when God gives her something, and it's probably like this for everybody, but she's very in tune to it, that God will give her, you know, a verse or a song or something, and it's usually relative to what someone else is going through. You know, so I don't always necessarily listen for myself. Because when she's saying what it is that she's heard, or she's usually telling it in a story that coincides with someone else. But this morning, it just kind of directly fit with what we're the direction that we're heading today. So I think
here's a prime example of how God uses somebody to speak.
Right, and that's one of the examples, is God will sometimes use someone else to say something. And if we're in tune, you know, we can hear or get the direction, you know, that God is giving us, but it came through somebody else, not necessarily, you know, from God directly. Or maybe God was trying to get our attention and, you know, had to use another voice. But so many different ways He's trying to get our attention. But in Acts chapter 17, starting in verse, we might have to back up. Let's see. I had verse 26, but I might have to back up just a little bit. All right. Paul had gone somewhere where he was ministering to the people in Berea. Let's see. Let's start at the philosophers at Athens in verse 16. It says, "Now Paul waited for them at Athens. His spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. Therefore he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshippers, and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. Then certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him and said, 'What does this babbler want to say?' And others said, 'He seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods,' because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, 'May we know what this new doctrine is of which you speak? For you are bringing some strange things to our ears. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean.' For all the Athenians and foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but to tell or hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus." Am I saying that right? Anybody know? I don't know.
If it's close enough, we know what you're talking
about. King James says Mars Hill.
Okay, he was at Mars Hill and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious, for I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, and I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him will I proclaim to you. God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things." Now, this is putting things into perspective. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined, he has determined, their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in hope that they might find, or that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. And as some of your own prophets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone or something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. And he has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. So just by that, who is he talking about that's going to judge?
Jesus.
So he has given Jesus and appointed him to be a judge. So first of all, he has created each one of us at a specific time and a specific location. He has placed you specifically in the story.
Yes.
And a specific chapter.
Amen.
And a specific, you know, setting, okay? He has placed you there. And at the end of this story, there's going to be a judgment. And there has been one who is appointed to judge. Please keep that one thing in perspective, okay? This is, all these things that I'm giving you are guidelines to listening to God today, okay? In perspective, my life is something that God appointed for a specific time and a specific place. And at the end of this life that I'm living, at the end of the story that's being told, there is a judgment that's coming, okay? So keep those things in mind. Now let's look at Matthew 24. Let's see. I think on some of these it's really good to get the backdrop. So let's go back to verse 3. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be and what will be the sign of your coming?" He was talking about the destruction of the temple. "What will be the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And your heart will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places, and all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached into all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come." Now, there's more that I want to specifically look at, but right in here, when it's talking about different tribulations that are coming, immediately after that, he talks about people turning against one another. After the tribulations come, then people start turning against each other. And then, because of circumstances, because of lawlessness, their hearts become cold. They grow cold. So, in that, I want you to see that because of things that may happen in our lifetime, may happen shortly, I don't know, God knows, but some of these things have the potential to steer our hearts against one another. Okay, God's desire is to draw the body together, to make it one body with one head, right? A unified body that's working together. Every part of the body playing its particular part. Okay, there's a verse that you a lot of times bring up talking about everyone in their place, not breaking rank. That's in Joel, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So it's like in military. Everybody has their specific rank, and they do what they're supposed to do with the orders that they're given. They don't break rank. Okay, same thing in the body. So God is causing all of us to come together as one body, recognizing the true head. And in the midst of that, there is going to... when we talk about the great falling away, there are many who will fall away. And the picture that I have is there are cells that don't want to, I don't want to say assimilate, but they don't want to do what they're told. They have a hard time accepting the role that they've been given, okay? And they won't integrate into the body, yielding themselves to the one true head. And God is not going to sacrifice the health of the body for a cell that's self-seeking because it's cancerous. And those cells will be cut off. So that was the picture that I got. I don't know if that helps anybody else. You were going to say something?
Yeah, that's the same thing I got this past week or so. Was that we cannot do anything really to ourselves, you know, for ourselves, or how do I say this? But everything we do, the one thing that came to me was that we're to submit to one another in love. And I cannot break rank. I cannot be self-seeking or do things without the consequences happening to my brothers and sisters here. I've been placed here. This is, you know, he hit me with that this week, that I need to stay in tune with him and in each other. Because when we submit to each other in love, that builds the body up, that we build each other up. And
okay, so yeah. if I decided to take a sledgehammer and hit myself on the shin, so one member of my body attacking another member of the body, and the whole body's going to feel it, is it not?
Right.
And the whole body is going to be affected by the injury.
Right.
In the same way, if there's a member of the body that's injured and the rest of the body comes to minister and give aid to that injured member, for the health and the good of the whole body, you can see how that would, if the body was working together,
yes,
to bring aid to those members that need it,
exactly,
then the whole body could function as it should. So, I mean, it works both ways. All right, so let's go back to the Great Tribulation. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of in Daniel standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop go down, not take anything out of his house, or not go down. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor shall there ever be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, and if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. Or look, here he is, in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the heaven, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Okay, right here it says, all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming. All the tribes. Everyone's going to see. And he will send angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together. He will gather together the elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Okay, now it's really important that you listen to these parables in connection to what we just read. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that the summer is near. So also, when you see these things, know that it is near, at the very door. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. How important is it that we have the ability to grab a hold of what God is trying to say? Because that's the only thing that's going to remain. Mm-hmm. What God wants and what God says and the, you know, connection between his words and the whole story, that's everything. Because he's trying to teach us. He's trying to teach the heavenly host. I mean, he is presenting a dramatic story for all ages. And he's preparing, through this dramatic story, the ability for him to stand alone in righteousness and in justice, right? Okay, those are all parts of the story. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So are there some things that we're not going to know?
Yep.
Yes. Okay, so that's another guideline. I've got another scripture for that. But you're not always going to have an answer for everything that you're asking. It's good for you to know that now. Some questions you're not going to get a direct answer to. You may not get an answer at all. So keep that in mind. But as the days of Noah were, so also will it be in with the coming of the Son of Man. For in those days, before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. So in other words, people were going about life as usual, right? Life as usual. I'm going to work, I'm coming home from work. Going to work, I'm coming home from work. Oh, it's weekend, let's have a barbecue. Someone's getting married next weekend. Life as usual. You know, you put things on the calendar, you wait for them to come. Life as usual, day after day, day after day. Okay, but they didn't know until the floodwaters came. So, they did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also it will be with the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would not have watched and allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour that you do not expect. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master has made ruler over his household to give him the food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and an hour that he is not aware of. And he will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So what you need to see here is we need to wake ourselves up to the fact, number one, that there is a greater story. And number two, we don't know when the culmination of all these things is going to be. God is very merciful. He is very patient and long-suffering. But at some point, those who are underneath the altar and they're saying, when, Lord, when? When will you avenge us? There is coming a time. And we will know the times and the seasons. We can see that when things are at a certain place, when things are about to happen. And at those times, we really need to be watchful. But just because this is something we heard in the past and it's escaped our attention, you know, we need to wake ourselves back up to the fact that he has given us a stewardship, a time and a place and a particular story, and the things that he's given us stewardship over, we need to be faithful with those things, and when he comes, we're going to be very happy if when he comes, he finds us doing what we're supposed to do. Okay, so when we were praying over our tithe this morning, I was just thanking God over the things that he has entrusted to me. And I always thank God for his provision. But I don't always think about his provision outside of that provision being for me and my household. In other words, if I am a steward over all that God places into my hands, and God has placed something into my hands for his purposes, what is he providing for my need? Or is he providing my need so that I will be equipped to play the part that he's called me to play? We've got to keep that in perspective. If we don't see clearly and see what's really going on, we'll misinterpret some of the things that we hear. Let's look at Acts chapter 1. All I'm going to read is 6, 7, and 8. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, or witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and to all the end of the earth. So what he's saying is, I've given you something to do, and there are some things that you're not going to know the bigger picture. Okay, now they were asking him a specific question about him setting up his kingdom. But this applies because there are things in our lives where he's saying, it's not for you to know. But the Holy Spirit has come upon you, so I'm giving you power on earth to be a witness for me until I come back. That's what's important for you to know. So from there, what I'm going to do for wisdom, we've been going over wisdom and the fear of the Lord on Wednesday nights, so I'm not going to take the time to go through it, but Proverbs chapter 2, 3, and 4 that talk about wisdom being the principal thing and seeking wisdom and, you know, how wisdom has an effect on your heart and pay attention and incline your ear to wisdom. If you're having trouble at the beginning of the time that we set aside to do this, you can start by reading Proverbs 2, 3, and 4. Because what we're doing during that time is we are seeking wisdom. We're not waiting for wisdom to come and find us. We are seeking wisdom and direction for the things that God wants us to do. Okay, so I was going to read it, but I'm not going to. Just if you need some specific direction when you first start, read Proverbs 2, 3, and 4. It won't take you long. Now let's look at Genesis chapter 3. Starting verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any of the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die, for God knows in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Now let's skip down to verse 8. Well, let's look at verse 11. He said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat? Then the man said, the woman whom you gave to me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle. And we're not going to go through the curse of the serpent. To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow in conception and pain, you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. The reason I'm skipping the curses is because we all know that. What I want to pay attention to is God gave specific instruction to Adam and Eve. Actually, he gave it to Adam. He gave specific instruction. Then something was presented to them that was countering the instruction that God gave. Something that looked appealing. Okay, so someone heard something that the woman did not hear directly from God, and then she heard another voice. And then, with that voice that she heard, she encouraged the person who heard directly from God. The reason I'm bringing out this story is because in the beginning, it's a beautiful illustration. God, in our time, when we're seeking wisdom, God may give you specific instruction. And maybe during that time, you might hear the voice in your mind of someone else saying something. And in your heart, you'll begin to reason and look at it naturally, with natural eyes, and think of how appealing this particular answer is to the longing in your heart. And when you reason together and get your eyes off of what you were commanded, then you will start in that direction, and that's when bad things begin to happen. Okay, so someone heard the voice of the enemy, and that person relayed what they heard and convinced the person who had heard directly from God and got them off track. Okay, we're learning to listen. And in our journey of learning to listen, or training our ears to hear, understand that there are times when the enemy will also use people, just like God uses people, to say things to you that appeal to your natural sense and reason. Sense and reason without the Holy Spirit. I remember that story. Anyway, we won't go down that road. But just bear that in mind, that that your heart has natural longings for the things of this world. And there are things that you can very easily get your eyes onto, things that will appeal to your flesh, your flesh nature. Okay? That's just something I want you to be aware of, another guideline as we learn to listen. So we read 17, 24. Let's go to Acts. We did Acts chapter 1? Yeah, we did. Okay, let's look at Acts chapter 22. Now, this was Paul, actually Saul, on his journey towards Damascus, and the Lord visited him. What I want you to see is we'll start in verse 6, 22 verse 6. Now, it happened as I journeyed and came near Damascus at about noon, suddenly a great light from heaven shone around me, and I fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So I answered, Who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. And those who were with me indeed saw the light and were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him who spoke to me. So I said, What shall I do, Lord? Okay, this is, we're asking God for direction, right? What shall I do, Lord? And his answer was this, Arise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all the things which you were appointed to do. Sometimes the answer you're given is go here and wait for the answer to be given. This is another guideline, and it's a really important one, because number one, you're not always going to know. And number two, the answer that you get may be to wait for the answer and to go somewhere else to get it. This is a guideline, and it's really important. So, as we go through this time, it's not necessarily important that you get the answer today. Whatever you hear, I want you to write down. Whatever you sense, if it's a knowing, write it down. This is just an exercise. We're not necessarily going to get an answer today. We're learning to listen. Is everybody following me?
Absolutely.
Okay. The last thing that I'll leave you with before we start is Michelle says that sometimes I'll say that you need to do something without explaining how to do it. Like I'll talk about the condition of your heart. Your heart needs to be yielded. Well, how do you yield your heart? You know, and I'll say you need to. So let's talk about yielding your heart. How do you have a heart that's yielded? Well, if you're driving and there's a yield sign, what does that mean?
It means you give way to
it. It means there's oncoming traffic, right? Okay. So in other words, I'm supposed to wait and give place to. Did everybody hear that? I'm supposed to wait and give place to. So there's someone else that has the right of way. And I'm waiting and I'm giving place to the one who has right of way. Jesus has the right of way in our life. Okay? And although we might want to get on that on-ramp, to yield would be to wait and give way to. Well, that was the example that came to my mind when she said, I need to talk about, you know, how do we yield? And that was the first thing that came to my mind. The second thing was, she gave me two examples. Well, darn, I don't remember the other example. But if I think of it later, I'll let you know. Okay, so we're going to have, I wanted to have 30 minutes to do this. And I know that may sound like a long time, but you're learning how to get direction from God. I want you to consider every minute of these 30 minutes very precious. Because what you're trying to do is find out the place that you've been given. You're seeking direction to find out where exactly am I in the story that you've written. So you can write down three things that you're seeking God for, specific direction, and one of those things is something that I want you to share with someone else and ask them, will you also, in your time, seek the Lord with me about this particular issue? Okay, so if someone comes back to you with what they heard and it's not to your liking, if your ears don't want to hear what they have to say, just receive it gratefully and take it before the Lord. Okay, because not everything that we hear is something that we want to hear. Remember, the determination, just like in Jeremiah, is that whatever we hear, whether we like it or we don't like it, we're making a decision now, we're going to do something with it. Okay? So we're going to break up, and it's going to be very quiet throughout the house. I'm hoping and praying. Extremely quiet. Because the only thing that you're to do during that 30 minutes is to open your heart, just sit before the Lord, quiet, and allow Him to speak to your heart. You can have your Bible with you. And when I said no electronic devices, if you want to use an electronic device for the specific purpose of looking at the Bible, you can do that, but nothing else. Absolutely no distractions of any kind. This is God's time. Okay? So we'll come back at 20 minutes after. So everybody find a quiet place. While I was in my time, I thought about one of the songs that we sang today. I don't know about you, but when you're trying to get before the Lord, it's very evident that our hearts are prone to wander. Mm-hmm. Prone to leave the God I love. That doesn't mean that we have to stay in that condition, but that's the natural state or natural tendency of our heart. It's prone to wander. If you are sitting still and not doing anything and you're really tired, then you could be prone to fall asleep during the time that you're trying to hear from God. You know, there's so many natural things, even when you clear away all the distractions, there's still some things that can keep you from hearing what God wants you to hear. So did anybody have anything that they'd be willing to share? If not, it's okay. I mean, this was between you and the Lord, but did anybody get an answer they were looking for?
Well, I wasn't necessarily looking for it. It was something to verify what I already knew.
Okay. Okay.
And that was when, you know, the Lord came to them and was trying to help them, and right away they heard something else. And I do that. you know, I'm talking to the Lord and I think I'm hearing him, and I've already jumped over here somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I don't realize it, and he has to pull me back.
Right.
And they ended up answering a bunch of questions that weren't even asked in the first place. They just got way off of base of where they were supposed to be and where they were, what they were supposed to do.
Right. Yep. That's a tendency. I think I saw Virginia's hand in Mark's.
Actually, you were second that I heard this from. That happened last night. In fact, I called Mark last night to ask him some things, and the Lord continued on teaching me my own heart. But you hit some things today. And I'll use myself as an example of this, the flower job. You know, everything had shut down, didn't have any work. Or, and when she called and I called her back, and I was talking to her, you know, I had no, you know, no check or anything. But today, hearing your message, and part of last night, God was dealing with me with some things last night, but it hit me. You know, God, do you really want me to do this? You know, maybe you wanted to give me this time to just not do anything, to get my house in order, I don't know. And what I got now is I can't treat this like everything else I have done and make it all about the income. It's not my source. People are not my source. Things are not my source. God is my source. And I have to focus, keep my focus on that, to stay pliable to what he wants me to do. It may be that this is just for a week or two, you know, I don't know. But I have to keep that flexible within my own spirit to hear from him at all times. I cannot take a generous heart for granted, or the things that I want to do, like for my aunt, or, you know, for the little people that I claim for, that I just, you know, I want them to be taken care of, because they don't pay much. They don't have much to pay. But, you know, me, I get involved in, I'm a nurturer. I want to nurture. And God wants to nurture me. And I'm so busy focusing on things, I can't do. Even if it looks like I'm hurting somebody, I can't even take that and make it my own. I have to trust God to take care of that and take care of the outcome. I just have to do what he tells me that I can do, and what pleases him, and keeps that, that I know, that one-on-one rapport that I have with the Lord, I have to keep that free and uncluttered.
Right.
Of self.
Right.
It's a good, things.
Good analogy. If you're bound, if you're cluttered, yeah, you're not free.
Well, we make it all about, it's what I have to have. I have to have this. I need this. I need my car fixed. I, you know, one of these days I'm going to, you know, need groceries, or I'm going to need insurance. I'm going to need whatever. You know, I've got to come up with this money. Medicare is kicking in. I've got to pay $100 toward that. Then I've got to get supplement insurance. You know, the list goes on. When does it stop?
So
I have to stop it.
Before I call on Mark. So sometimes we get so focused on looking to the Lord to supply our need without even asking him, Lord, is this even something I need?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's a very good point. Mark?
I wasn't going to give anything specific, but it's just been, I got some direct answers, but I've become very, very aware of what I said earlier, that there's just a lot of peace that I have when it comes to needing God's direction. that I don't have any sense whatsoever of urgency, and there's just a settled knowing that as I need to know what to do, I'm going to know. And it's radically changed an awful lot of things in me, because the fact that now I'm no longer badgering God at the throne to get a specific answer, because I realize now that a lot of times my doing that was really an attempt to try to control my outcome in some way. And now I'm trying to roll the carrot over on Him. And I find that I have answers as I need them. Sometimes they come even when I wasn't even thinking about it. It'll rise up in my heart what my answer is for the next step. And there's just so much more peace involved with that. But also there's an awareness that there's a relational trust there that goes on, because I don't have to know the answer. I don't have to know what's going on. All I need to know is what my next step is and when I need to take it. And a lot of times I don't even know it a lot in advance. It's just something that just happens. And it almost feels, if you were not aware of the active relational trust, I'm not talking about just shirking it off and saying, well, I need to know, God will let me know. I'm not talking about that. I mean, it's active, it's real. Relational trust, you're resting in Him deliberately. If it weren't for you being very aware of that, you'd almost would probably feel irresponsible. Mm-hmm. Because you're not worried, because your mind isn't on it. And I can't even really see that my mind's not on it. It's just that when it comes to my mind, it's kind of like I give a nod in that direction. I know that's there, and I'll know what I need to know. I just keep going. And so it's kind of an odd thing to try to explain.
Right. It's something you definitely find yourself attuned to. But just like I can have one single device, a radio. And from that one device, depending on how I turn the tuner, I can hear lots of different voices speaking. And when you know that it's tuned where it's supposed to be, then you'll hear what you're supposed to hear. And it doesn't matter where you go, as long as you're tuned in, you'll hear what you need to. And I think that's part of maturing. I don't know if we lost something along the way. I'm sure we did. Listening to God, hearing Him, is probably something that was more intuitive, that as we grew older, we learned how not to listen. Or, really, our hearts became dull. So there's a scripture that talks about, iron sharpening iron, and a man, sharpening another. And perhaps, part of that is the role that we play with each other. And, keeping ourselves attuned. So our healthy relationships with one another, I think, also are going to have a big part to play in how well we're attuned to what God is saying. We get very, we can be judgmental of one another, but that wasn't what I was initially thinking. When a brother or a sister is trying to say something to us legitimately that's from the Lord, there are times when we have a tendency to be irritated, and it hinders our offended. That was the word I was looking for. We're too easily offended. When God is trying to do something to get a word to us, oftentimes Satan will use that to put a wedge between us. Does that make sense? So Satan is just a counterfeit. He knows God's methods, and he knows God's words, and he'll twist his methods and his words to achieve the opposite effect. Okay, because if you understand a formula, you can work that formula, and it works, one direction just as well as it does the other. So our hearts have been created with an amazing capacity. The Bible says that He has put eternity in our hearts. We have an infinite capacity for many things. And so with the power that God has placed within our hearts, God knows that if our heart is attuned to Him, He can create within us, develop within us, the image of His Son. And Satan, being around that, knows that he can twist and pervert that and create within us something that's idolatrous, you know, something that's more resemblance to the image of a man than the image that God created. I mean, we were created in God's image, and it's like we're trying to worship the image of an image.
Mm.
So, anyway, yes.
One of the things that I started saying, I didn't think to say it like I should. When I sit down here to read this, I was wondering what I was supposed to get out of this. And I read it once, and then I read it twice. And when I read it the second time, I knew exactly what God was saying to me. When I'm looking for something, I'm looking for God. So who am I going to hear first? Satan doesn't want me to hear God. And he'll blip his big mouth right in there, and I think I'm hearing God when I'm not hearing God. And it takes a while for me to discern between the two.
Yeah, well, that's what, you know, I'm hoping we're all trying to develop is a discerning ear.
Yeah.
Because when you know his voice, mm-hmm. the voice of a stranger, you will not follow.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, I'm not completely there yet. I know that I hear from God. I mean, when I know, I know. But then there are times when I'm not sure. And there are times when I've heard what I thought was God and acted on it, and later, you know, my heart bore witness that I was acting on something that I wanted to do and turned it into the voice of God. So
I think it's easy because, I mean, I've been around the Lord for a lot of years, and you have the tendency to think, well, that you're hearing him. But you aren't always hearing him, and he knows you well enough to know what you want to hear.
Mm.
And
well, yeah, because we tell him.
Yeah,
we do. Right out of our mouth, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's and right. So if you have evil desires in abundance in your heart, and they come to surface and come out your mouth, then, you know, that gives our enemy something to work with. Guard your heart mm-hmm. with all diligence, because out of it flow the very issues of life.
Yeah.
So let's, I said read Proverbs 2, 3, and 4. I'm going to read the first part of Proverbs 2 and we'll end. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. We can say amen to that, right?
Yes.
Then, I like this one, you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. I love that verse. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you to deliver you from the way of evil. Good words.
Mm-hmm.